In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God created man in His image. And God gave man different roles than He did the women. He didn't ask my opinion. He didn't ask your opinion. He told us what His wishes were. And God made husbands and fathers the head of the family in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. Not the doormat, but the head of the family. And once we understand that and our responsibilities, fathers and grandfathers, that God has given to us, it's an awesome responsibility. God told man to procreate, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, to replenish the earth. Only in marriage does God authorize this. In Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is an honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I did a lesson this morning on homosexuality. As I travel the earth, I don't know of any homosexuals that I've encountered in the Lord's church. I've never met one. But I've met a lot of brethren that are married in the Lord's church in other parts of the world. Marriage is honorable among all. All the families of the world, marriage is honorable. And God told the husband and the father to provide for his own family in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. If he doesn't, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And God told fathers to train up a child in the way the child should go in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers are to teach their children that the most important thing in life is to serve God and to keep His commandments. Fathers are not to leave it up to the congregation's Bible class to teach their children. Fathers, we're responsible to teach our children at our homes. Yes, they can learn a lot at the Bible classes. But the responsibility lies upon the fathers. Fathers have a great responsibility towards their children. One is to be an example. When a child is young, a father is the hero of that child. I taught school. I coached football for 17 years. I retired as an assistant principal and an elementary principal. And you could tell the children that had leadership at home. Oftentimes the homes had divorces within the homes, and no father figure was in the homes. Don and I, when we traveled to South Africa, here was an example, and you can go online. We fly in and out of Chicago O'Hare Airport quite often. You've probably heard of O'Hara Airport. Eddie O'Hara was an attorney. He was good. He represented Al Capone. In fact, he could keep Al Capone from prison. He was good. He had a son named Butch O'Hara. Eddie knew, as his young lad was coming up, Eddie knew that what he was doing with representing Al Capone was wrong. Tax evasion. And other corruption. In fact, he was so good that even nearly an entire city block was given to him by Al Capone. A fine house he lived in. But he wanted to be an example for his young son. And so he turned state's evidence. He knew by doing this, most probable it would cost him his life, and indeed it did. Within 1 year, he was shot to death. His young son, named Butch O'Hara, won the Medal of Honor in World War II as a fighter pilot. In fact, the Chicago airport is named after Butch O'Hara. But his father wanted to set him a good example. Fathers should remember that they represent their children's reputation. In John 14 and verse 8, Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus said in verse 9, have you been with me so long that you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. You see, when a child is growing up, and when a child is young, the father is their hero. And fathers, your reputation is your son's. Until they have time to develop their own reputation. And it's important that you set an example for them. Because as people ask them, well, who are you? As they ask the young lad, oh, you're so-and-so's son. And immediately, the reputation of the father is applicable to the child. Either good or bad. So fathers, you are an example to your children. Oftentimes, parents will not allow their children to stay overnight at another child's house. Why? Because of the reputation of the father of the house that the child wants to spend the night. A father's reputation is what other people think of you. Your character is what you really are. Does your children see you study your Bible at home? You got them. Most of us became Christians between the age of 12 and 28. Think about it. That's 16 years. Somewhere in that time frame, if you live to be 80 years old, that's only 20% of your life. Fathers, you got a small window there that God has given you. Does your children see you study the Bible? Does they see that the Bible is worn out? Do they see you watch television more than they want you to read God's Word? Do they see and hear you lead the family in prayer at your home? Do you gather your family around you and pray with them? They will remember that. In Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he's good. They'll remember it. Often we hear the saying, a family that prays together, what? Stays together. Does your children see you treat your mother, their mother, your wife, with kindness? Do they see that as an example? When I would teach, when I teach young people in home Bible studies, I recommend that you watch the person that you're anticipating, maybe even marriage, and see how the parents treat each other. Because that's how they've been taught. Those are little things that you pick up on. Little red flags, if they're the parents are bitter towards one another. That's how that child has been raised in an environment that they've been raised. Do you praise her at the gate in public? Do you speak highly of her? She's your helpmate. Does your children at home hear you state principles from God's Word concerning a situation that may have happened in the home? For example, you need to do unto others as you've been treated, as God would want you to do. Do they see you? Would you want them to imitate you? And how you act in public. And how you act at home. As Paul said to the church at Corinth, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Do you bring your children to Bible study? Or do you send them? Do you have a Bible study with them at home? Do you encourage their mother to put up things in the home, on the refrigerator, in the bathroom, verses of the Bible? Like our children have seen during their lives. Just little things. In worldly affairs, as an example, does your children see you obey the law of the land? Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that belong to God. Romans 13 and verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authority. Do they see that in you as an example? or do they see you break the law or violate the law if you feel as a father that you will not get caught? I'm going to tell you something. Your children know you better than anyone else except your wife. And you can't fool them all the time. Does your children see you help those of the world when they're in need? Do they see you as a good Samaritan? Do they see you? I'm not talking about taking a chance for the safety of your family, but I'm talking about someone that you know. Do they see you help those people? Do they understand benevolence? Does your children know that you are a good employee at work? Do you have that kind of reputation where you work? I knew this man one time when I was going to college, and he was very slothful until he saw the boss coming. And he would outwork all of us when the boss came by. What's your reputation at work? Are you a good employee? Are you a light to the world? Does your children see you as a righteous man or even a good man? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 7, what does your children see you? A righteous man? Paul said, Romans 5 and verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. I'm telling you, you might see someone, I mean, if you're going to do some gardening and you go and you want to buy some pea seed, and the guy, he pours it out into the hopper, and he wouldn't cheat you for anything. He'd give you to the last pea, but he wouldn't give you any more. Or do they see you as a good man that put in the true measurement and maybe throw in a little more, just go that little extra to help someone out? Does your children see that in you? Worldly affairs. Does your children see you lead the family and living below your means? I'm telling you something. Whenever I deal with people that are having marital problems, there's three main things that I have to deal with, Frank. And not necessarily in this order. Unfaithfulness, adultery. In-laws and money. Do you teach your children how to manage money? Do you do that by an example? Do you show them a budget? Do you show them how to live below the means? Because there are going to be times that come that the refrigerator is going to break down. And the car's not going to run. Do you teach them about money? That causes hardships upon marriages. And the father is the responsible for the financial needs of the family. Isn't that right? 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, provide for his own. Does your children see where you place your love? Do they see you work overtime to acquire the things of luxury? Part of my undergraduate degree is in recreation. Isn't that something amazing? These recreation directors in cities, did you know that they're college graduates, most of them? I mean, we're a nation of recreation. But where did your children see you put your priorities? In 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. You see, remember, they know you. Your wife is the only one that knows you better. Do they see you Do they see you have a love for the world or the things that are in the world? And John says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. You know what verse 17 is saying? Let me tell you something, folks. The lust of this world is passing away. If you think you're going to take the luxuries of this life to hell with you, they won't be any there. Because it'll be destroyed with the world. That's what it says, the lust of the world. When the Lord destroys the world, all the lust that's in this world, they won't be any lust in hell. Where does your children see your priorities? In Luke 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you need to love your neighbor secondly. Do they see you choose overtime at work so you can buy the boat and miss worship? Do they see that? Do they see you choose recreation time instead of worship? You know, sometimes when we go on vacation, we vacate the Lord. You know, they see that. Do you plan ahead where you're going to worship? Or do you leave the Lord, well, if it's convenient, we'll worship. They see that. They know where your priorities are. Teacher, Father, when your children are small, teach them the books of the Bible. When your children are small, teach them a Bible verse each week. When your children are small, teach them a Bible story. It's a wonderful thing to do. As they're getting ready to go to bed, fathers, I've done this quite a bit with our children. You get down and you read them a story of concern. I'll tell you this, they'll remember those stories. Teach them how to pray. That's a beautiful thing to hear your son lead a prayer at the table. To lead the prayer. You got to teach him how to pray. Have you ever thought about this? In Luke 11 and verse 1, they said, his disciples, the apostles said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't ask him to teach us to teach. Did they? They didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to teach. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And I'll tell you this, if the apostles needed someone to teach them how to pray, don't you think your sons, your children need someone to teach them how to pray? Teach them how to study the Bible. Do they see you study? Do they ask you questions? How do you study? Do you teach them that commandments are important? Examples, necessary inference. Teach him who's doing the writing. To whom is he writing? What is he writing? Teach him to keep it in the context. Teach him how to study. Teach him to respect others and their property. Boy, I can tell you, from being in education, you can pick them out readily. When your children are growing up, teach them God's commandments every day, either in word or example. Now, I know in 1 Peter 3 and verses 1 and 2, it's talking about the wife, but it can be also applicable to the fathers with an example. In Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 7, you shall teach them. Now, notice the word them. It's not talking about your children. It's talking about God's Word. You shall teach them. You shall teach God's Word diligently to your children. And you shall talk to of them God's Word. When you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them, God's Word, as a sign on your hand God's Word shall be frontless between your eyes. You shall write them, God's Word, on the doorpost and at your gates. You know what that is? You can write them where they can see them when they're coming and when they're going. When your children are growing up, Ephesians 6 and 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and nurture and admonition of the Lord. Learn how to discipline, fathers. I was an old football coach. We had to discipline from time to time. And once you discipline, you forget it. You don't throw it up in that football player's face the next time they mess up. You've handled that situation. If you handled it right, they know. Fathers, you don't provoke your children to wrath. You don't throw it up in their face next week and say, "You remember what I did to you last week?" You don't. They remember. Why do you do that? Why do you want to provoke them to anger? Teach your children to form their own faith. You got to teach them. We have two children. They do not worship where we worship. Both of them was in worship today. At separate places. They do not worship at the same congregation. Our children do not. And you say, "What do you mean?" I'm going to tell you something. When they're this size, your faith is their faith. Think about it. Our children didn't have an option whether they was going to worship or not. They didn't have that option when they were here. They knew they were going. Because your faith was their faith. But you got to teach them to develop their own faith. That when they get here and they leave your home, you can't control whether they worship God or not. You must teach them to develop their own faith. Luke 2 and 46. "Now so it was that after 3 days they found Jesus in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. All that heard him were astonished in his understanding." He was developing his own faith. When your children are growing up, teach them how to become a Christian. Fathers, if you can't take a sheet of paper and you can't write down the scriptures of what they must do to become a Christian, shame on you. Can you do that? Do you do that in front of them? Do you teach them what they must do to become a Christian? If you will do that, just like we did ours, our children will teach others at school. They'll teach them. But if you don't do that with them, can you expect them to do it with someone else? Do you remember that 16-year period? The window? Teach them to live faithful unto death, Revelations 2 and 10. If we miss heaven, we miss it all. I'll tell you this, and I'll come back to this. This morning I was thinking, I got out real early, walked, did my walking. And I was thinking, I don't know why I do this, but as I get older, I think back, Brother Harbor, back things that happened a long time back. And I don't know why I did that this morning, but I finished high school in 1965. This guy and I, he and I were good friends. Played high school ball together. Finished high school together. Good friends. He was a good guy. And we, back in them days, many of you remember, you older ones, you had, when you turned 19, you had 30 days to get your business in hand at home because you was drafted. So we went into the Navy. He and I did. So when we went through boot camp, they offered us a school, and it was a hospital corpsman. And Galen said, "I'm going to take it," because, see, he was salutatorian of our class, and he said, "I'm going to be a medical doctor." I said, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to be." He took it. 3 months in Vietnam, he's killed. Blowed away. I went twice and lived and come back. And the point is, he wasn't a Christian. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. He was a good man, but he has no hope. And if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. He's been dead over 40 years. He'll never walk the face of this earth again. And if you look, ask public, the general public out here, if one of the two of us had to die, here was a man that was a better athlete than me. Here was a man that was a salutatorian of our class, a man that was going to be a medical doctor, a man that could contribute to society greatly, and he died and I lived. Man. Teach your children while you have them. Teach your children how to bring others to Christ. A good father leads. He doesn't drive. You know the difference between a dictator and a shepherd or a leader? They get out front and lead. A dictator drives. A father must teach his children how to work. And you say, how to work? Yeah, teach them how to work. My dad must really love me because he surely taught us how to work. Teach them how to work. Teach them to give a good man a good day's work for a good day's pay. Teach them. Get out there and work with them. Teach them to be at work on time. And you say, well, what's this have to do with Christianity? 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, Paul said, if anyone will not work, he shouldn't eat. You know what that means? He starves to death. Teach your children how to work. Teach them how to work for the Lord. Teach them to work heartily. Do you lead by example of self-sacrifice? Even animals do that, don't they? I know you do. You sacrifice for them to go to college. You sacrifice for them to attain certain things. A father should teach his children to honor older people. Boy, that's a beautiful sound when you hear your children say, yes, sir, no, ma'am. Isn't it? And you know where they got to hear that? They got to learn it from you. You got to teach them how to respect others. Wouldn't that be a wonderful world today if we all did that? If all the parents did that? 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. I've seen our children get up and give their seat to an older person. That's something. Teach them. As a father, teach them who to marry. Christian. One who honors God. One who's going to help them go to heaven. One who puts values upon a family. A family is important to God. Teach your children to notice one's parents. How they treat each other. How they respect the roles that God has given to us. Who's the head of the family. Teach your children to observe their marriage prospect on how they treat other people. Animals. I do these home Bible studies with these young. See, I was a school teacher. And I said, you observe how they treat animals. Do they abuse animals? Proverbs 12 and verse 10. A righteous man regards the life of his animal. Are they kind to people they do not have to be kind to? Watch that, young people. When you're at a restaurant, are they kind to the waitress? They don't have to be. See if they're kind. Notice that. Pick up on those things. A good father provides a good atmosphere in his home. A good attitude is very important in one's home. Be positive, fathers. You're blessed with children. Compliment their mother in front of them. Father, say I'm sorry when you mess up. If you will do that, guess what your children's going to do when they mess up? They're going to say, I'm sorry. You know why they're going to do it? My father did. Do you praise your children, mother, in the gates? Does your children see you praise their mother, your wife, in the public, or do they hear you cut her down? Oftentimes, your children will follow your attitude when they're at home and school. We must have a good attitude. That is included in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. A good father provides good spiritual leadership for his children. A father should be a Christian. Lead by example. Most children will become a Christian, like we mentioned, in that 16-year period. A father who is a Christian should use his talents. Does your children see you lead prayer in the public assembly? Now, I know that everybody doesn't feel comfortable to do that, but does your children see you do the work of the Lord, the talents that you have? Do they see and hear you lead singing at the assembly? Do they see you helping the serving in the Lord's Supper at the assembly? Do they see you give of your means? Do they see you being hospitable to others? Do you have other people to over to eat with you? Do they see that? A good father provides good spiritual leadership and he shows that hospitality, just like in Genesis 19 verses 1 through 3 and Lot did. He provides care for his children's grandparents. Do they see that? We'll get through on time. Don't you turn with me on 1 John 4 and 18. And my children saw this, and they see this. And I didn't do this because one day I'm going to be old, because I'm already getting there. But I did this because of my raising. And because of my love for my father. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, John says, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, what does that mean? Well, I was trying to put that and thinking about that. Well, if you put here at the top, you got fear. When I was down here, and I was growing up, I'd get whippings when I messed up. My dad would discipline me. Well, I'll be honest with you. It's just like when I became a Christian, I don't know that's about this with you, but the main reason I became a Christian, initially, it wasn't so much I wanted to go to heaven, I just didn't want to go to hell. It's not that way anymore. I don't want to miss heaven because of who's there. My Heavenly Father's there. The Lord's there. My mother and my father were faithful Christians when they died. But here I was when I was a lad. I had a greater fear of my father than I had a love for him. But as I grew older, my love for my father outweighed the fear that I had of him. I remember when he was 80 years old, both my parents are gone. He picked the phone up one day, and we lived miles away from him. And he called me and he said, "Son, I have a piece of tin rattling on the old shed. I need it fixed now." You know what I did? I stopped everything I was doing. I got in my vehicle and I went and I fixed the tin. And you know why? It wasn't because of the fear of the whipping. It was because of the love for my father. Now let's read that verse again. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. There's that initial, that fear. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. God wants the fear of him replaced with a love for him. And your children see that in you, fathers. Yes, you're to discipline. And once you discipline, you know what they'll do when they're small? They'll crawl up in your lap. And you know why? Because there's security there. And they know you love them, even though you had to discipline. There's no fear in perfect love. He trains his son to fit the qualification of an elder. A father teaches his son to honor his wife, to treat her with loving kindness as Christ does his church. He trains his daughter to honor her husband, for her to obey the roles that God has instilled in her and instructed in her in marriage. She's not to be a doormat, but she's to be a helpmeet. There's plenty of work to do for us fathers. I preached this lesson and one said, "Man, how do you get all this done?" I said, "Well, you don't have to do it all one day. You're supposed to start here." But this is what God expects from us, isn't it? A father will lead by example and his teachings to his children, whether good or bad. A good father will use God's word as his standard in his family. A good father will put God first, his family second, in his job, or himself in his work and whatever down the line. God instituted three divine institutions. First one was what? The family. The second was the government. And the third is the church. And where do you think the devil spends most of his time? I promise you, it's in those three institutions. He spends 98% of his time in the church because he knows the world is lost. I've never coached a football player that quit that didn't want to take someone with him when he quit. The devil knows he's going to hell and he's going to try to take as many of us with him as he can. You got to finish the race. I want you to help me finish the race. I'll try to help you because we know Satan's after us. If you're not a Christian, you know how many sins you're going to take to heaven with you? Zero. Have you got a sin against your soul? You need to let the Lord's blood take away it.